Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome back to Meeting Ike series, Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Marina Liaros Naples, and this is the Thursday lunch break show, a quick 15-minute show. I do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays of the same week, every other week, and alternate weeks, I have an evening show at 6 o'clock where I have a special guest on each of those shows. Those are 30-minute shows. Those are also live shows. Today's show is a peek into the studies and results from the Secret Life of Plants book, which was written by Christopher Bird and Peter Tompkins. And I have mentioned this book a few times in different shows. I have had this book for many, many years. And I remember the first time that I was reading it as just how exciting and how amazing the information and all the experiments and results that came up when these experiments were done and the reactions from the plants that had happened. And, you know, I have to stop and think, you know, I do this regularly. I have plants inside my home. I have garden outside my home, vegetables and herbs, and I have different plants. And, you know, I have learned from the Secret Life of Plants book, along with other experiences I had when I was very young and in my own home with plants, is that what a kinder and more gentle world we would have if we were taught, along with our ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, when we're very young, that everything is sacred and alive and is in tune with us, the humans and animals that inhabit this planet. If we only learned how to interact and honor all life that surrounds us, what a different world we really would have. You know, everything is sacred. We are all one. You've heard these sayings over and over again with many other sayings. And it really is true. And these results from these studies and experiments that were done many decades ago, these are astounding. And they're a revelation for us all. And, the tree huggers, they had it right, and they still do. So what we're going to be covering a bit today, but I want to stop real quickly here and just say, if you haven't listened to my show back from April 8th, which is also a quick 15-minute lunch break show, and that show topic was, what are the reasons prayer is used before meals? I think you're going to be surprised at some of the information, and it really does correlate to today's show. And then just on Tuesday, at noon also, and these are all Eastern times, the title of that show is Grow an Organic Garden, Tips on Seeds, Soil, and Composting. So I really recommend you taking a listen to those shows as well, as, you know, all my shows, of course, but those, because it ties in with today's show. And I have a part of the book here, and I'm going to read you some of this today. And so I wanted to be able to share it and hope that it really instills in you wanting to get this book also. And again, this is the book of The Secret Life of Plants by Christopher Bird and Peter Tompkins. So here he's talking about, the author is talking about an office building, and it's facing New York Times Square. And there, it just goes on to describe it. And then the idea was, he was curious to see if the leaf would be affected by water poured on its roots. And if so, how and how soon? Is the plant thirstily sucked up the water in its stem? The galvanometer to which the plant was hooked up to, to his surprise, to Baxter's surprise, did not indicate less resistance as might have been expected by the greater electrical conductivity of the moisture plant. The pen on the graph paper, instead of trending upwards, was trending downwards with a lot of sawtooth motion on the tracing. It was in fact showing a reaction similar to that of a human being experiencing a brief emotional stimuli. A galvanometer is that part of a polygraph lie detector which, when a weak current of electricity is run through a live human being, will cause a needle to move or a pen to make a tracing on a moving graph of paper in response to mental images or the slightest surges of emotions as they occur to the human guinea pig. It was invented at the end of the 18th century by a Vietnamese priest, Father Maximilian Hell, of all last names, S.J., who was court astrologer to the Empress Maria Theresa. And we'll get into, before I close up today's show, a little bit about, I'm going to touch on that, my idea with that, astrologers in the court back then. Anyway, was named after Luigi Galvani, the Italian physicist and physiologist belatedly credited with discovering animal electricity. The galvanometer is now used in conjunction with an electric circuit called a Wheatstone bridge in honor of the English physicist and inventor of the automatic telegraph, Sir Charles Wheatstone. In simple terms, the bridge balances resistance so that the human body's electrical potential can be measured as it fluctuates under the stimulus of thought and emotion. The standard police procedure is to feed carefully structured questions to a suspect and watch for those will cause the needle to jump. Veteran examiners such as Baxter claim they can identify deception from the patterns they produce on the graph. The most effective way to trigger a reaction in a human being strong enough to make the galvanometer jump is to threaten his well-being. Baxter decided to do exactly that to the plant, the leaf of the dracaena, in his cup of hot coffee. There was no reaction to speak of on the meter. He studied the problem several times and conceived a worse threat. He would burn the actual leaf to the electrodes, to which the electrodes were attached. The very instant he got the picture of flame in his mind and before he could move for a match, there was a dramatic change in the tracing pattern on the graph in the form of a prolonged upward sweep of the recording pen. Baxter had not moved either towards the plant or towards the recording machine. Could the plant have been reading his mind? He left the room to fetch some matches and returned to find another sudden surge had registered on the chart. Reluctantly, he set about burning the leaf. This time there was a lower peak of reaction on the graph. Later, as he went through the motions of pretending he would burn the leaf, there was no reaction whatsoever. Mysteriously, the plant appeared to be able to differentiate between real and pretended intent. In order to establish what was happening and how, he now began on the meticulous investigation of the phenomena he had just witnessed. His first move was to make sure he had not overlooked any logical explanation for the occurrence. And I'm going to stop there for a moment. And in the field of metaphysical, the holistic, the spiritual, mostly metaphysical and spiritual, you really need to take a look at and eliminate one by one any logical explanation. Why is there a flashback or is there a light when I took a picture? Well, there's reflection and different things do reflect back. There are orbs that get caught on camera. Don't get me wrong. Of course there are, and ghosts and people and movements and animals and that have passed on. But we want to get rid of every single logical explanation for the occurrence, as I just stated here. And we need to do that first to make sure that what we have, the end result, is actually an occurrence that did happen. So there's absolutely no doubt. So back to the book here. Was there something extraordinary about the plant, about him, about the particular polygraph instrument? Enlisting collaboration, he went on to use other plants, other instruments, in locations all over the country. More than 25 different varieties of plants and fruits were tested, including lettuces, onions, oranges, and bananas. The observations all bearing a resemblance seem to demand a new view of life. At first, he considered that his plant's capacity for picking up his intention must be some form of ESP, extrasensory perception. When he quarreled with the term, ESP is held to mean perception above and beyond varieties of the established five sensory perceptions of touch, sight, sound, smell, and taste. As plants have no evidence of eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and as botanists, since Darwin's time has never credited them with a nervous system, Baxter concluded that perceiving sense must be more basic. This led him to hypothesize that the five senses in humans might be limiting factors overlying some kind of primary perception, possibly common to all nature. Maybe plants see better without eyes, Baxter surmised, better than humans do with them. With the five basic senses, humans have the choice of perceiving, poorly perceiving, or not perceiving at all. If you don't like the look of something, said Baxter, you can look the other way or not look at all. If everyone were to be in everyone else's mind all the time, it would be chaos. To discover what his plants could sense or feel, he enlarged his office and set about creating a proper scientific laboratory. During the next few months, chart after chart was obtained from all sorts of plants. The phenomenon appeared to persist even if the plant leaf was detached from the plant or if it was trimmed to the size of the electrodes. Amazingly, even if a leaf was shredded and redistributed between the electrode surface, there was still a reaction on the chart. The plants reacted not only to threats from human beings, but also to unformulated threats, such as the sudden appearance of a dog in the room or a person who did not wish them well. Baxter was able to demonstrate that the movements of a spider in the same room with the plant wired to his equipment could cause dramatic changes in the recorded pattern generated by the plant just before the spider started to scuttle away from a human attempting to restrict its movement. It seems, said Baxter, as if each of the spider's decisions to escape was picked up by the plant, causing a reaction in the leaf. If a plant is threatened with overwhelming danger or damage, Baxter observed that in self-defense, it passes out or swoons, rather in the way that a human does. This was dramatically demonstrated one day when a lady physiologist from Canada came to Baxter's laboratory to watch his experiments. The first plant gave no response whatsoever, nor did the second, nor the third. Baxter checked his polygraph instruments and tried a fourth and fifth plant. Still no success. Finally, on the sixth, there was enough reaction to demonstrate the phenomenon. Curious to discover what could have influenced the other plants, Baxter asked, does any part of your work involve harming plants? Yes, the lady physiologist replied. I terminate the plants I work with. I put them in the oven and roast them to obtain their dry weight for my analysis. 45 minutes after the visitor was safely on her way to the airport, each of Baxter's plants once more responded fluidly on the graph. This experience made Baxter realize that plants could intentionally be put into a faint or mesmerized by humans, that something similar could be involved in the ritual of the rabbi before an animal is killed in a kosher manner, tranquilizing it into a quiet death, possibly preventing its flesh from retaining a residue of chemical fear, disagreeable to the palate and perhaps noxious to the consumer. It might be, said Baxter, that a plant could appreciate being part of a higher form of life rather than rotting on the ground. So this is just a portion from the book, The Secret Life of Plants. Now, as I said, I've had many experiences in my own life, and you know, and it started years ago, and I house plants, and I would go around and water my plants. And I thought, okay, good, that's done. I can go on to the next thing that was on, you know, my list of things that I had to do. And as I was walking away with the pitcher, I heard, you forgot me. And I stopped. I mean, I heard it clearly, but in my head. And I said, what? What was that? And I heard it again. You forgot me. And I looked around and I thought, you know, there's no way. There's no way. You know, and I thought, okay, it's you know, is the plants. And so I went around to all of the plants. And sure enough, there was one plant I wanted to water. It let me know. And since then, I communicate with my plants all the time. Be sure to tune into my next show. And that is coming up next Wednesday, April 28th at 6 o'clock p.m. Learn more about astrology, sun signs, and planets with astrologer Carol Ruth. And I hope you will join me. My name is Marina Lieros-Naples, and I'm your host here on Meeting Ike Series.